It kind of finished a week ago. But we are, I suppose, it's got the Paralympics coming up, I think, is good. And but I started kind of writing a few thoughts around this when the Olympics were on, so I thought we can still go with it. Did you watch much of the Olympics? Did you watch quite a bit? I think the best bit for me was when I was quite sat, when I was at New Wine. They had, they had these deck chairs in front of this big screen, and you could just go in the afternoon and just watch the Olympics and fall asleep and in the sun. It was really nice. Did you have a favourite bit? What was your favourite bit? Or what was your one that you thought, oh, I'm good. What, were you watched? The what? The rowing? That was so close, wasn't it? The what one? The diving? Break dancing, 100 metres? Who? Tennis? Bit of a selection there. I think my favourite was Keely Hodkinson winning the 800 metres. Did you watch that? And she's from Wigan. And I know that women from Wigan are determined. So I think that was probably my favourite bit. She's gone out, hasn't she? That's between us. What happens in church stays in church. Okay, no, I shouldn't say that. Anyway, a few thoughts this morning from the Olympics, and I think the idea is that I want to relate them to us as Christians who are in the human race, obviously. So that's where we're going to go. It's a bit of a, I would say, a bitty message. Sometimes when you write a message, it's kind of got one central point, and you hope that people gain from that central point. I think what today's message is, there's different bits to the message. And I think what I hope then is that a different part probably might speak to different people at a different point. So think to yourself, you might think, oh, well, I heard the first point, but that didn't really, not really me. But just look out for the bit that particularly God says, this is the bit I want you to focus on, and you to think about. And it might be more than one, but I'd like to think there's at least one part of it that God says, this is for you, and it'd be different for all of us, because we're all in a different place and a different part of the journey, aren't we? So my first point, I suppose, is the word practice. And I've just put here, the athletes didn't just turn up on the day. One competitor that was being interviewed, he said this. He says, I've been working towards this all my life. And it felt funny because he only looked about 16. And I thought to myself, well, fair enough, but he only looked like a kid, but it was probably true. But we know, don't we, to be a competitor in the Olympic Games, beforehand, there has to be hours of training. There has to be dedication. It takes discipline, commitment, sacrifice even. They would have asked constantly. These athletes would have had to look after their health and their fitness. They would have had to continually keep their focus right so that they can be the best they can be when they get to that point of competing. And in our Bible reading, you know, Paul knows this. He says this, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown. But then he says, that will not last. And he's talking about an earthly crown. Where's this music coming from today? Come on, who's got the music on today? You know, it's like, look at this music. It's you, is it, Andrea? No. Anyway, don't worry. But are these, you see, Paul knows, but are these words, that's something we need to consider then as Christians, in our Christian life, as we take part in this human race. I think we need to think about those words. We need to think about dedication as a Christian, discipline, commitment, and even sacrifice as a Christian. I think my battery's just gone. Has it gone? Phil? No? Okay. I'm all over the place today. So I want to ask you today, what might our training look like as we look at after ourselves, not just our physical health and our fitness, but as we also look after our spiritual health and fitness? How do we keep our focus so to be the best that we can be for our Lord and Saviour, King Jesus? And I hope that that's what you want to be. You want to be the best that you can be for Jesus in your Christian walk. So the question has to be, do we want to be the best spiritually, have the best spiritual shape? And if we do, what might we have to do? What might we have to put in to achieve this? And I think in some ways, I'm not sure just a couple of hours or so on a Sunday is going to be enough if we're going to be the spiritually best to walk, to run in this human race that we are as God's people. So then the question, what is our spiritual training scheme like? What do you have as your spiritual training scheme? Does it have those words like discipline and commitment and dedication and sacrifice in them? Because I don't think we're just meant to turn up. We have to put in if we're going to achieve and if we're going to give our best, especially to our Lord Jesus. The second thing I'd say is about running our own race. We each have our own lane in which we run this race, human race. Paul in the Bible uses imagery, doesn't he, of a runner in a race. And what I would say is that the human race is wide, but when we respond to follow Jesus, we have our own lane to run in. It's a lane of God's plans and purposes and positioning for each one of us. It's a unique lane set for each one of us as we head towards the same prize, but our lane is unique. It's for each one of us by name, because God has our own plans and positions and purposes for us. Not all athletes are meant to run in the 100 metres. Some will run in the marathon. They're two very different events, but they're athletes in the Olympics. The Bible talks about it like this. It says that we are all different parts in the body of Christ. The Bible tells us that God has put in us different gifts, different talents, different abilities to be used for his church and to bring him glory. Some of us are meant to run as prayer warriors, others using hospitality or teaching or healing or being evangelists. Some of us are meant to run being musicians and administrators. We're meant to run in a Christ-like way in the jobs that we're in the roles that we're in the responsibilities that we have. What I'm saying is that we all have our own lane to run in as God's people. So let's run in it. And be careful not to get distracted, because I think we can get distracted or even jealous by other people's lanes. We think, oh, I want to be like them. I want to run like they're running, or I want to kind of compete like they're doing. I want to be a Christian like them. I want to have that gift. But God says we're unique, and God has given us our own lane in which to run as Christians in this human race. We need to find it, we need to stick in it, and we need to run in it the best we can. Something else I noticed about the Olympic Games was the highs and lows of the games. Obviously, the games were filled with highs and lows, joys and disappointments, fulfillments and frustrations, happy tears and tears of sadness. And when I thought about this, I just felt, isn't that just a reflection of life? The experiences that we can all face in our lives. We can face life's joys and celebrations, victories, special moments and memories. But we can also face life's storms and hardships and struggles and losses. I'm just glad as a Christian that God promises that he will be with us whatever the circumstances of our lives are. And we know even today that there is a variety of circumstances in which people here are living and running the life of a Christian in this world. Some of you have got hopes and there's joys and there's celebrations and some good news and things, but others are struggling and there's hardship and there's struggle and there's a storm. The good news is, as Christians, and I can say this with confidence, is that God's promises that whatever the circumstances we're facing, he will be with us. I used to show a video, I don't show it anymore because I've shown it too many times, about Jesus with us in all the different circumstances. You know, Jesus is there with the bin men on the bin lorry. Jesus is there in the someone giving birth in hospital. He's there, and Jesus is there with, you know, and all these, with the teacher in the classroom. And I love the video, the concept of it, the idea of it, that it just reminds us that in all the circumstances, in all the areas, in all the places, Jesus is with us. He is with you. Wherever you are, whatever your circumstances, that is his promise. The other thing I thought about in the Olympics, I'm going quite fast because I've got a few things to say, is I thought about some of the negativity that went on around the Olympics. See, as well as many special moments in the Olympic Games, it also seemed to include elements of controversy and negativity. There was the opening ceremony that caused a lot of concern. There was a number of issues around boxing in the Olympics. And when this was going on, it kind of, for me, it coincided with the local riots as well in the UK. So please, it seems to have died down at the moment. And when all this was going on, what concerned me often is how people respond. I really struggle with it at times. It seems like it's so easy to get caught up in a lane that is marked anger or unkindness or negativity, even hate. And I do feel that as Christians, we are called to run this race differently. Proverbs 15 verse 1 says this, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Wouldn't that be a powerful word in society today? And as Christians, we're meant to be the ones that are following that first and foremost. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. As we run our race, I think we're meant to run it differently. We're meant to show love and respect, kindness, compassion. We're meant to bring peace and hope and reconciliation, aren't we? And in some ways, as Christians, the winning for us is as much as how we run the race, how we compete in the human race. That's our victory. It's not just when we get to the end, and we'll talk about that. But actually, for us, victory is how we run, how we live life, how we deal with people, how we respond to circumstances that are going on around us. And just constantly trying to say to people that just be careful not to get caught up in the anger and the negativity and the prejudice and the things that sort of often flows in our society, that we might run differently, that we might run with hope and love and compassion, and that we might be people that change the circumstance rather than pour fuel on the situation. Another thing that I think was one of the highlights of the games was actually there was some amazing Christian witness. I think probably many of you will have seen these. So many athletes seem to openly express their faith during the games, Christian faith, and give God the glory. And I wanted to just read a few of them. Sydney McLuhan-Levron, I think she's from America. She won gold medal in the 400 meters hurdles in a new world record. But she said these words, "I credit all that I do to God. He's given me a gift, a drive to improve upon myself. I have a platform and I want to use it to glorify him. So whenever I step on the track, it's always the prayer of God, let me be the vessel in which you're glorified. Whatever the result is, how I conduct myself, how I carry myself, not just in how I perform." So it's just freedom in knowing that regardless of what happens, he is going to get the praise through me. And yeah, that's what I want to do. I would take my relationship with Christ over a gold medal any day. What a witness. Isn't that a powerful thing to express when millions of people are watching and listening? Adam Peaty, Great Britain, silver in the men's 100-meter butterfly. Fresh out of the pool and breathless but beaming, Peaty told the BBC Sport, "I give my absolute all in there. In my heart, I've already won. These are happy tears. I'm not crying because I've come second. I'm crying because it took so much to get here. I'm a very religious man. I ask God to show my heart, and this is my heart. I couldn't have done any more." Andrina Spedlonia, you know her. She won the bronze. She's British in the synchronized diving. She said this: "When we do synchro, we always pray before we compete, and I really do think bringing God into the competition takes that pressure, takes that stress away. I give God all the glory because yesterday I was studying, be strong and courageous, and that's all I wanted to be today. I didn't want to be shy. I didn't want to leave anything. I just wanted to give it all to God." Amazing. One more. Yes, Miss Ma. Somebody else. A German gold medal shot putter. All right. I could say her name, but you might have any difference. The German gold medal shot putter. She was asked what was going through her head as she threw. She says, "I went back to my seat and sang a song called I Almost Let Go. It goes like this," she said. "Before the media bank with some beautiful gospel vocals, she sang, I'm here today because God kept me. I'm alive today because of his grace. Oh, he kept me. His mercy kept me, so I won't let go." Just amazing testimony. People, the Christians in front of millions of people expressing their faith and giving the glory to their God and Father. Wow, does that not challenge us? Challenges us. And sometimes I'm a bit shy in front of my neighbour. Do I always give God the glory? Because it's to him who I live. It's all about Jesus. Something else I noticed in the games, and I put here just finish well, but it wasn't in the games. I thought it was and it wasn't, but I was watching a clip and I thought it was from the Olympics and I thought, oh, I can use that. And then I realised it wasn't from the Olympics. It was actually from last year's European Athletics Championships. But some of you might have seen it. It was the Spanish speedwalker, Laura Garcia Caro. And I don't know if you saw this, any of you seen this clip, but she's a speedwalker. She was coming third. She was coming down the track. She's like, I have got this. This is my medal. I am in third place. No one is going to overtake me. She even raises her hand as she's about to cross the finish line just for another athlete to go zoom past her. And her face is a picture. She's like, oh, realizes that she celebrated too early and she's been taken on the line and popped into fourth place. Who would laugh? Was that you laughing, Steve? You've got a sense of humour. You have, haven't you? When I saw that clip, I just said, I thought to myself, whoa, we have to keep going. Oh, we have to persevere. Right to the end. Always finish well. And we don't know when our finish is. Persevere. Keep going. Right to the end as Christians, following Jesus, and finish well. Because finally, we do get the prize. We don't get a tin pot. 8 for £1.50 in Asda. Little trophy. Remember earlier, Paul says this, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get the crown. That will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And I pray that one day we will all be able to say the words from 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. Simply says this, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. That one day we might stand before our God and he might welcome us home and say, good and faithful servant. That he might put the crown of glory on our head, that we might all stand on the podium of heaven and worship him together. Guaranteed a prize. Now, I've got something else to say today, but I'm going to split it. Not long, but I'm going to use a song just as we think about some of those different bits. Talked about the prize, finishing well. Talked about Christian witness, highs and lows, how we respond to negativity, practice, all those different things. And maybe God today, I hope in some ways, has used something in those words to speak to us about something as our Christian race, as we do this, as we run the human race as Christians, as God's people. But I'd like to look at one more thing with you. But before we do that, we're going to sing. And we're going to sing Boldly I Approach. I'm thinking, what are we going to sing after my message today? I normally pick that song, the group, leave the rest to the group. And I was racking my brains. And the only one I can think of is Boldly I Approach, because it's got the word running in it. But it is about running home, because we know in the end that's where we are. We're running home, aren't we? We're running that one day to our Heavenly Father, to our eternity. Let's stand and sing this, and I'll pick up on just something else for a few minutes. So like I say, just wanted to put a few thoughts. I was just noting these few thoughts down when I was watching the Olympics, thinking about them, how they compare to us, how do they relate to us as Christians. If you're a Jesus follower here today, you know that we need to put the practice in us with like discipline and things like that, and even sacrifice, that we might be the best that we can be. And then we need, you know, all those other things, talking about how we respond to negativity and how do we give God the glory for who we are in our lives, and finishing well, getting the prize, all those different elements that just tried to share a little bit with you today. But there was something else, and I wanted to really pick, just highlight this as well. Because actually, the 2024 Olympics were the 100th anniversary of the Olympics where Eric Liddell triumphed. Now, that name will ring a bell, because if you've not known his story, you've probably seen the film Chariots of Fire. Eric Liddell was a man of faith. And in 1924, in the Paris Olympics, he was down to run the 100 metres. And actually, he was the favourite to win the gold at the 100 metres. But the news came through that the 100 metres heats were on a Sunday. Now, because of Eric's Christian faith, he refused to take part. there was a lot of pressure put on him about that he was the favourite who he was representing. He needed to run in these heats so he could run in the 100 metres and win the gold medal and everything would be amazing. But he refused to compromise. Instead, he ran the 200 metres and he got the bronze in that event. But he was also selected for the 400 metres. This was never had been his best event, and he wasn't really expected to do well. But just before the race, he was passed a note with a Bible verse on it. The Bible verse was from 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. Simply says this: "He that honours me, I will honour." Let's watch a little bit of Eric Little. I'm pleasing him. But you know, Eric Little's story after winning that gold medal in that 400 metres, his story doesn't end there. He became a missionary in China. In 1941, because of the war, his family left and Little stayed put. In 1943, he was imprisoned in a brutal prison where he still prayed with his fellow inmates and ran Bible classes. In 1945, he died at the age of 43, just 5 months before liberation. On his headstone, he quoted the words from Isaiah 40, verse 31. "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." His story was told in the 1981 Oscar-winning film, Chariots of Fire. Now, I'm not trying to make a point about running or working on Sunday. But 2 weeks ago, I touched on one of the things that I felt God is challenging me about at the moment, and that as a church, I really want us to think about over these coming months. And it's simply this, that I believe we need to talk about being believers for Jesus, and we need to talk about being disciples of Jesus. Eric Little, to me, is an example of not just being a Christian believer, but being a Christian disciple. And there's a difference. I nicked all that from this little booklet. And you can take one of these away with you to read yourself, maybe to give away to somebody else as well. But let me just read the last couple of little parts of this booklet. It just says this: "What controls how you live? Whether we agree with Little's attitude to sport on Sunday is irrelevant. He believes it was God ruling for him and quite rightly refused to break it. He held firm to the principle he lived by: whom or what controls us? It's easy to talk about doing the right thing until you have to pay the price. In 1924 Olympics, Little was prepared to pay the price for doing right. He paid the price again when he rejected a promising career opportunities to take on a humble teaching post in China. And finally, he paid a heavy price when saying farewell to his family and child that he would never see again. He chose to stay in China and serve the people. Little's life was dominated by three things: one guide, the Bible; one figure, Jesus, whom he took as his Lord and Saviour; and one goal, giving all he had for the Jesus who had saved him." Eric Little is just that example to me, and it's the challenge to us all to not just be a believer, to not just stand on our lane of our Christian walk and say, "Oh, look, the view's nice." But what it means to be a Christian disciple, to live all out for Jesus, to know him fully, to live for him fully, to run our race for him in the circumstances of life, that's the challenge. And we're going to be talking so much more about it, particularly when I've read my book, from being on holiday. of what it means not just to be a Christian, but to be an apprentice, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I think Eric Liddell's just an example for us. It could have been easy for him to compromise. It could have been easy for him to gone under the pressure of what the others expected. But for him, he had one Jesus, and he was one goal, to serve and follow and live for and run for him. What a great example. But he challenges me, and I hope in some ways he might challenge you. Let's pray. Lord God, I think there's a real call on our church day to be disciples of you. And Lord, I think discipleship is different to just being a believer in you. Discipleship is about following our Saviour fully and discovering what that means. I thank you for the examples. I thank you for the example of Eric Liddell. I thank you for those that shone in the Olympics as they shared their faith, even when in their moment of triumph, and they gave you the glory. Lord, I pray that as we go out from this place to run our race, Lord, that our aim might be to give you the glory. Might be to run for you, to live for you, in our thoughts and our words and our actions. And I pray for anyone today, again in this place, that doesn't know you as their Lord and Saviour. Lord, break into their hearts. Help them to think you're not just a thing that people talk about. That you're someone who can people have a relationship with. Break into their hearts and show them that you are there for them. You love them. You died for them. You call them to yourself. And for the many others that have already made a decision to follow you, Lord, I pray that you would help us to take the challenge to live for you fully, to be dedicated and committed, and to run for you in a way which is glorifying. Not just here in church, but when we're out of church among our friends, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods. This world needs disciples of Jesus. Lord, I pray that I might again just say, I want to put myself forward saying that that's what I want to be. And may others feel that same call and challenge. Not to compromise, not to hold back, but to live for you. You deserve it. Because you're the ultimate prize. We've already won. Because of the freedom, forgiveness that you've already bought. Thank you, Jesus. May you be glorified in and through us. In this moment, but in this week. In Jesus' name. Like I say, I've got one of these. You can take one and just have a